Good morning and welcome to the podcast. This is Brian.
This is Luke.
Today we'll be talking about the several injustices that happened throughout To Kill a Mockingbird and still occur today.
It is Tuesday, December 4th, 2018, and we are recording this in Glen Gardner, New Jersey.
Alright, well, I'm going to first start this off with racial injustice, which racial injustice occurs a lot in To Kill a Mockingbird, especially with the case of Tom Robinson.
Yeah, well, he was discriminated against in the fact that he went to jail itself, and that there's other cases of it when he was just discriminated against in general. Like, why people treated him as such, the way they did in the book.
No, yeah, for sure. Like, in his court case, he seemed completely innocent, and his story was much more believable than Mayella's, and Atticus had a lot of good points towards it. And it was really a convincing story that I do believe is true. But it's sad that he was still convicted guilty, even though he was completely innocent.
Yeah. I mean, it's also shown that there's a lot less people that are racist than at the time that they were talking about in the book. But there's still racism today.
Yeah. I mean, like, you'll see it. If you're in New York City or areas such as that, you can see it quite a bit. And I mean, it's really not good. It really needs to be sorted out.
I mean, also with race and, like, race discrimination in the workplace, you can't hire or pay someone differently just because of their race. And, yeah. Like, it's unlawful to also harass people due to their race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, like, you shouldn't be able to pay someone more or pay someone less judging by their race or even their gender, which is another topic we'll be talking about. But, I mean, yeah.
Tom Robinson also was treated differently, I feel like, in the jail when he was murdered. He was a complete overkill. He was shot more than once. They knew he was dead since he just wasn't moving, and you shouldn't need to shoot him like more than twice.
Yeah, no, I definitely realized that when I was reading the book. That was really not good. And just the fact how cruel Bob Yule and just everyone else towards Tom Robinson is just horrible. And also just everyone who is dark-skinned in Maycomb, just in general. It's really not good.
The weird thing is that no one was really mean against Calpurnia.
That's true.
Odd.
I think that was because she was
Atticus's.
Yeah, she was under the house of someone who was pretty well respected, at least for the time being. Later, he was not as well respected, but which he really should have been.
A second discrimination that was shown in the book is gender discrimination. This was shown in Aunt Alexandria. It was shown in Maudie.
Yeah, Miss Maudie. Maudie.
And Jem was the main person that was attacked, but when gender roles were brought up.
Yeah. And I mean, like, Scout had a lot of issues towards that with, like, Aunt Alexandra always telling her to wear a dress and to always be more proper, be more ladylike, when she just wanted to be herself, wearing overalls and running around with her brother. Sorry.
I know that there's a lot of things set on women that are not the best at all, but some I do slightly agree with. Like, I don't agree that a woman must look a certain way, act a certain way. But I do agree that in some circumstances, they should act like they are a woman. They shouldn't, like, if they're gonna go, like, let's say a man asks a woman out to dance, she should act more ladylike. If the guy likes her for who she is and the way she dresses, like, let's say he asked her out on a day that she was wearing more fashionable overalls and he didn't expect her to go to the dance in, like, farmer's ripped up overalls, like, really baggy.
Yeah, and I think that goes with, like, commitment. Commit to what you want to be, and if you're going to be that, don't change it.
Yeah.
Like, either commit to being ladylike or a tom girl. That even goes for men. You could wear colorful clothes or non-colorful clothes, or always wearing shorts and a t-shirt, or always wearing long sleeves and long pants. It's always just commitment towards it. And if you change that, people can dislike that.
There's also a lot of stereotypes placed upon women and men. Like, there's certain jobs that were placed upon certain people. Mm-hmm. Well, some of this would be like a woman having to be a nurse and a man having to be a doctor. Like, not all nurses can be women. Not all nurses can be men.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, in To Kill a Mockingbird, like, there were no women really working in that scenario because it took place in the 1930s, which I think is quite bad. I mean, just because you instill the responsibility onto them to take care of children and clean and cook, it's really not good. And I mean, it's, that can, like, still happen today. People are still sexist towards really anyone. It can be on both sides.
It's also, I don't know. It's, I noticed that children drew men, like, in a test more than women in certain jobs. Even though there are women that do the work.
Mm-hmm.
There should be, like, when younger children draw that, there should be, like, almost an even mix. Like, it's okay if there's a little bit more women or a little bit more men, but, like, not for sure just one.
Yeah, like, if you tell a child to draw, let's say, a fireman, it's, like, someone is most definitely going to draw a male, and someone is hopefully going to draw a female, which, there are female firefighters, it's not uncommon. And I mean, I really don't think that's good, and the gender stereotypes are definitely way better than in the 1930s, or even when in the 1960s when this book was written. But it is improving, but it's still not perfect.
There are 18 countries where husbands can legally prevent their wives from working, and 49 countries lack laws protecting women from domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not okay at all.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the slight down pay of, like, how women get paid slightly less is really not good. All right, but continuing on to our next subject, age. So in To Kill a Mockingbird, there are several instances where Scout and or Jem get accused of being too young for something. Like, for example, with Mr. Raymond, he always says to Scout and Dill that you're too young to understand. Or Atticus will even say, and Atticus was pretty understanding about everything. He would even say, like, I'll tell you when you're older, or I'll give you a shot when you're a little older. Like, for example, with Jem, when he wants a gun, Atticus doesn't trust him right away, but he almost has a reason, because Atticus got his first gun when he was 13 or 14.
For sure. I mean, age does matter, because you need to be, like, at the time, Jem was around the age where puberty is hitting, and that's when they're, like, most humans' brains aren't as, like, built up in their logic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, you can have a lot of, like, anger outbursts, which Jem kind of did, and he would also try to be as wise as his father, which wouldn't always work.
That is very agreed. I mean, not every age is the same, not every person is the same, but you have to figure it out sooner or later that we aren't that dumb. And yeah. Children aren't that dumb. Like, they can figure out a lot more and think about things a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this test the other day where they had a bus, and it was, like, one of the buses with the flat back and the flat front. There's no area where the engine is on the front. And it was shown to adults and children. And children knew which way the bus was facing. And the adults didn't, because the bus door is always on the right side. So they knew it was going back instead of forward. Well, left instead of right, because the door always is on the right.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good example, actually. I mean, like, people always accuse children, even now, of being too young. I mean, I've experienced that myself as being 14. Like, that happens to me, not in, like, often, but it does happen. And I mean, there are times where I can really understand it, where, like, if I really am blanking on something and I don't get it, and I really do believe when I'm older I might get it. But then, like, going back to To Kill a Mockingbird, Scout does experience age discrimination quite a bit. More than Jem, I'd say. But Jem also does have age discrimination, with Atticus always telling him off about stuff to not do something, or him not having enough responsibility for something. Okay, and then our last piece of evidence for age discrimination is that Scout and Jem do both, like I just said, have age discrimination put towards them, but along with Dil. And I think Dil also has that, because Dil experiences that with his, like, where he used to live with his parents. They would never really, I guess, it's on the opposite side of the spectrum. Like, with Scout and Jem, they always wanted to do more. I worded that weird. Scout and Jem always want to do less than they're told to, but Jem, or Dil, he wanted attention from his parents, which they never gave him, and is the reason why he ran away in the end of the story.
I mean, that does make sense, because, like, if you're not getting what you deserve, even if you're, like, if you're ready for it, and, like, you feel that your parents know you're ready for it, I feel that you shouldn't run away, but you should have a more serious talk with them about whether you should get more responsibility and how, like, you should go about getting it.
Yeah, because Dil made it seem like he was always very bored with everything and didn't know what to do. He never really had much to do. His parents would always either just ignore him or not pay attention to him. And I mean, Scout and Jem, they always had stuff to do. There was always something. And when they didn't have something to do, people would always say they just didn't understand.
And they would find things to do. Like, they'd play the Boo Radley game, or when it was snowing, they made a snowman.
Mm-hmm. All right, but then moving on to religious discrimination. So, starting it off, I'll go with To Kill a Mockingbird reference again. So, in To Kill a Mockingbird, I guess you could call this an example, when Jem and Scout go to Calpurnia's church and meet all the black people there. This could also go under racial discrimination because of the separation of the churches, but you should be able to practice your religion wherever you want or whenever you want, necessarily, for varying religions. But in To Kill a Mockingbird, there are two separate churches for a small town, which probably could easily do with only one, and still have more than enough space. And it's just racism coming in again, but this is religion discrimination. And I guess that's an example from To Kill a Mockingbird, but it can kind of go both ways.
I also feel that Aunt Alexandria brought in a little bit of religious, like, discrimination. I mean, some of the things that she would, like, say and try to push on to people were not the best.
Yeah, and I mean, she would always talk about being more prideful of her background and being, like, very interested towards Atticus getting onto his background and really trying to accept it. And, like, an example with real life today is that there are a lot of discrimination with Muslims in America. And so, from my notes that I have, there are an example is from my notes is that 65% of Republicans and 72% of whites also said Islam and democracy naturally conflict. And I mean, I can't say that I get behind that, because there is a more majority of Muslims being Democrats, but saying that they're all under one class is really not good. And I mean, the discrimination, I haven't seen it personally, but I've seen from news articles that there's a lot of discrimination towards Muslims from Trump, which I'm not very fond of, but I wouldn't say it's the worst problem, because I haven't seen much of it, but...
Well, the thing is, Muslims are not... They're like... Okay. I want to say there's, like, really two types, but, like, the main thing that people, like, think of when they think of Muslims are the people who did 9/11, the people who did the recent shooting in, I believe, England at a concert. Mm-hmm. But they think of those type of radical. Mm-hmm. But there's also Muslims that just peacefully do their thing. They wear the headdress, they do what they feel needed for their religion, and they don't do anything to anyone else.
Yeah. And I mean, like, going back to what you said with, like, Muslims being associated with terrorism and extremists of their own religion, which their religion basically states that anyone, they believe that anyone who doesn't believe in their religion should be terminated, should be done away with. Which, I mean, is obviously horrible, but there are way more Muslims who obviously do not go for that. I mean, there is a small percentage who do believe in that and do dislike Americans for not believing in their own religion and being naturally majority Christian. But there are so many Muslims who are fully accepting of America and may even be glad that it's one of the least racist countries in the world, really.
They're also, like, okay with... A few of them are very okay with coming here to escape what's happening in their homes. Like, where all the fighting is in the Middle East. Like, they're happy to go somewhere that's safe, where they can have a family and live.
I think always the main point is there are all the arguments about sexism and racism and being discriminating religion and discriminating age, but you just gotta be more thankful. Like, there are so many countries where a woman can still not have a job, or even it's recently passed in a few countries that women can finally drive, which is really not okay. That's horrible. But you just gotta be thankful for America on its own, just how it is. Now, there is sexism and racism and religion discrimination, but it does happen in America, but it's way less often than in other countries. And I do believe it should be solved here to make it even better, but we gotta be thankful of what we already have towards America, at least.
And a fourth type of, like, discrimination that happens in the book is socioeconomic, with the Yules, the Cunninghams, and on the higher up end is the Finches. Mm-hmm. And, well, Boo's, like, down there, but...
I mean, in, like, the beginning of the story, Atticus does say the Finches are poor, which really everyone in Maycomb is very poor.
Due to the Great Depression, right?
Yeah, that's just the times in general for the 1930s and just beyond that. And so... An example from Tickle and Mockingbird again, we're doing this for every subject, to say, like, the Finches, which I just talked about, Atticus considers them poor, but they are on the more, like, they have a little more money than a lot of the other families in Maycomb.
They have enough to have a maid.
Yeah, they have enough to have a black slave.
Well, which not is a slave, not, she gets paid.
Wait, does she?
She gets paid.
She does.
Yeah. But, like, not as much.
That's true.
As.
And it seems like she's gotten used to it. But, like, the Underwoods, for example, Or sorry, I meant the Yules. The Yules are really not doing well. And I mean, he has about, I believe, 8 children to take care of. I'm talking about Bob, but he lives behind the town dump, and he also has to take care of all these children, which kind of make me almost have sympathy towards him. But he is also abusive towards, as you can see, to Mayella. But I'm going to assume that if he's abusive to Mayella, he's also abusive to all of the other children.
He's also, a farmer, which at the time, the Great Depression was just terrible to farmers. Mm-hmm. Because the banks crashed, and without the banks, you don't have any money to really go around, other than what's kind of floating around in everyone's pockets.
Yeah.
And farmers never had that much at all, and if they did have it, they'd try to put it in the bank to gain interest. Mm-hmm. But now that the banks are all just in a terrible state, they can't get the money that they need to really work for anyone, so they have to try to bargain with what they have, like the food that they make and the work that they can do. And
mm-hmm. Okay, and moving even farther down the spectrum, I guess you could classify the Yules as probably the lowest, and then the Cunninghams being also very low on the spectrum. They are so poor to the point where they won't really take anything from anyone, because they just know they can't pay it back, which I think is pretty sad. And I mean, they are very nice, and Mr. Cunningham always pays back to Atticus. He gave them the bag of nuts in the beginning of the story, and Walter is always very thankful, even when he gets all that, the huge amount of syrup on his plate from Atticus. He's still extremely thankful, and that family is a very nice, hardworking family. But the Yules are, I feel like, almost dishonest. Not the children, but Bob, just in general.
I mean, and the way that Walter Cunningham was, he didn't take a quarter from the teacher because he couldn't pay it back.
He didn't even want
lunch. Which means that he understands what he's in, and it's kind of, I feel respect towards him. Yeah. But there's a lot of socioeconomic problems in the real world today, such as the splitting up between schools. Their poor schools are majority black, and in worse places, they're less funded. They have a lot worse things than what the more, the just better school has. And that's mainly white, and it has lots of money going into it. And I feel like the money could be evenly distributed, but it just isn't.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's kind of sad because you're born into a life where you could have more opportunities or less opportunities. Let's say you're a black kid with just your mom and maybe your brother. It's just you, your brother, and your mom in New York City. And you're not rich. You're pretty poor. And you're going to a school. It's not a great school. Maybe there's graffiti on the walls, fights in the hallway all the time. You're not going to... People don't really ever come out of that. It's very difficult to come out of that and, perceive to go to college and do well in life.
And with that description that you made, I immediately thought of a place more like a hood.
Mm-hmm.
Or a more gang-controlled area where there's a lot of violence and it's not really the best for children to grow and learn.
And they have, bad role models there. Here in our area, we're very lucky to have a really good life. We have a nice school, and we're very thankful of that. But, going back to my example, that scenario, that kid is never going to have the same opportunities, which I just stated before. But, sorry, I'm blanking here. Alright, I'll just move on to the next subject.
Which is race. Well, not race. Well, we have already done that.
Yes.
I believe that is it all. Have we done race?
We have done race.
race?
I think we could do a little more for socioeconomic. I did give that example, yeah. But I'll just do a couple more. All right, so for another example of socioeconomic, we'll talk about wealth distribution, which you talked about for schools, but that can also happen in a workplace. You can have the same degree. You can have a bachelor's degree in, let's say, accounting or such. And, like, you go to get a job. It's maybe the same income as another place, but the one place has terrible conditions. The other one has good, like, good conditions. And, I mean, I guess that depends on the amount of money that the place is in taking, but it's really just all comes down to how you're, like, what lifestyle you're born into.
I mean, with each and every example of discrimination, we have found something that is still going on today that relates back to the book. And that's what really makes this book still
relevant
and why schools should keep it in their curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it teaches a lot about how you would go about perceiving the world at the time, and it really does, like, push out about, like, all the types of things that would happen and how bad it were, and it kind of, like, makes it more extreme, but it's still, like, you can still pick it out and still see this is still a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, like, I'm gonna be honest, when I started the book, I was not all that excited. I had not heard good things from my brothers or such and such or my peers, but, like, I went into it with a pretty bad idea about it, and I didn't like it in the beginning, to be completely honest, but towards the end, in the middle, I really started to understand and relate to society today with the book. And, like, going back before to socioeconomic with the wealth distribution, you need a role model to look up to, or something that you want to be. Like, in our area, you may look up to being a doctor or a police officer or a nurse or something like that. But in a hood area, you're going to possibly look up to someone who is in a gang and has even killed people doing drugs or various things. And it's all just a terrible thing. And back to the main theme of socioeconomics, just not having a good enough chance in life.
And they should keep this book in curriculum,
mm-hmm.
because it does still teach about race, race, gender, age, socioeconomic, and religious, like,
quite a bit.
Yeah, it really goes into detail about a lot of them. I mean, and I feel like this is probably going to stay in curriculum for a lot of schools for a while, because a lot of these things take a lot of time to go away. And mm-hmm. it's still relevant now because it's still here. You can still see from each one of the things that we've stated that there is still a problem in schools, and a few reasons of why we should keep it in. And examples from the book even that show why and where and how each discrimination happened inside of the book.
Yep. And, like, going back to what you were saying, how it takes a long time, it really does. Like, it's, honestly, I doubt sexism or racism is ever going to be completely solved, but it can get better from where it is now. And I know it should change, and hopefully it will change. All right, well, that's just about it.
Well, if you want to learn anything more about this topic, go to the hashtag ToKillAMockingbird. Hashtag ToKillAMockingbird podcast on Instagram, Twitter, or any other social media.
We should have it. And also, if you have never read the book To Kill a Mockingbird, we really do, from us, and it also having the, from it also having the Pulitzer Prize, 1962. It's a really good book, and I really do think it teaches a lot to younger kids and to even adults.
Younger kids isn't the best idea.
That's true.
There's a lot of... I'd recommend, like, 14, 13 and up.
There are a lot of strong themes, and I mean that, like...
And words.
You almost kind of want to shy away from when you're young to shield innocence, which is really the theme of the book. All right, well, we'll end it there, and this is the podcast signing off.
See ya.
See ya.